Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
It's great to hear your voice.
And good to hear yours. I almost went into our now traditional Spanish dialogue, but I restrained
yes.
myself.
Buenos dias, ¿cómo está?
Okay, that's the extent of
it. Is that far enough?
Yeah, that's far enough.
Today's show will be in Spanish.
Because for those people who don't just follow our lives in intimate detail, we were both just in Costa Rica.
Yes, it's a beautiful place.
It is an incredibly beautiful place, practicing our little restaurant Spanish.
Yes.
You have more restaurant Spanish than I do. But, very, very wonderful culture.
A wonderful culture. A gallo pinto for breakfast every morning.
Oh, it's the best, isn't it?
If I could cook that,
I'd have it for breakfast here every morning.
Yes. So we'll encourage everyone to make a visit to beautiful Costa Rica.
Yes, they can start planning right now because we'll do another retreat down there next February or March, so they can come and join us at beautiful Pura Vida.
Great.
Yeah.
Pura Vida Spa. Today's show is going to be a 45-minute show because the women's basketball team is doing great things in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to be coming on at 5:45 for their next game.
Wow.
If you have... Go ahead, Sherry.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's worth getting off the air for.
Yes.
All right.
The men bowed out a little bit early, and the women are doing great. They're down
to... Women are carrying the flag, huh?
Carrying the flag. They're in the Elite Eight. Eight teams left.
Excellent.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to me when people do something they love and do well, and they're enjoying it.
Yes.
You know, that's to me, that's inspiring. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yes. And I've heard...
It doesn't matter.
I've heard you talk about that in terms of passion, and it doesn't matter what you're passionate about. It's the experience of being passionate.
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, in a conditioned world, we make some things important and other things not important.
Mm-hmm.
That's very sad because that's a product of conditioning, not
mm-hmm.
of reality.
Uh-huh.
So to do anything that you love and to do it well and feel the joy of that is, to me, what life is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to talk with any of our listeners today about passion or the middle mind, which we talked about before.
That's right.
And you can reach us today at 650-723-9010. And Sherry, I see that many people have been active at their keyboards since we've been away.
Good. So I bet you have emails there.
I have email questions, and if people...
Now, I just want to clarify one thing before we tackle email questions. We will talk to people about The Middle Mind, the book that I mentioned last time, or passion or anything else that's going on in people's lives.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wide open here.
We want to hear from them.
That's right.
Hear how people are doing.
This is a call-in talk show. So it remains important to us that people call in and talk to us.
Yes.
I mean, email is wonderful, and we're glad that people email us. But
yes.
We also enjoy hearing those voices.
Yes, call-in talk
I
show.
I mean, the voices on the line, not voices in our heads.
All of it, yes. Mm-hmm. Call-in talk show of the kind and compassionate variety. We promise to be kind and compassionate when you call in.
Yeah, we hope. Well, at least we'll do our very best. That's going to be our intention. You know, we can never be sure
uh-huh.
how we're received.
Yes.
And yet, our intention will remain to be kind and compassionate always.
Yes.
To come from that centered place, which is kindness and compassion.
Yes. And if you want to email us, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. And also, we'd love to hear from people generally to hear where they're listening to us from.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. And that's all they need to tell us. It's not like we're going to sell their email addresses to somebody who wants to offer them yet another mortgage on their house. just for us to know, to get a sense of who's out there and where people are listening from, as you say.
Yes. And if they'd like to receive an occasional email from us about what we're doing and what the show's doing, they could let us know that as well. Mm-hmm. Archives of all of our shows are at Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Sherry, we've had some commentary here about the middle mind.
Aha.
Do you want to remind our listeners what the middle mind is?
Yeah. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think the gentleman's name is Curtis White.
Yes, that's correct.
And the book is The Middle Mind, Why Americans Don't Think for Themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that subtitle because it doesn't say we can't. It says we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's encouraging. And he approaches this from the perspective of the arts, academia, and politics,
mm-hmm.
and looks at how we are conditioned. It's my way of talking about it. How we are conditioned to look at life, and how that essentially puts us in a position of not thinking for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So same process, different approach.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So what did your email writer have to say?
Email says, Dear Sherry, I listened to Open Air two days ago, bought The Middle Mind yesterday, and am well into reading it. Curtis White is discussing what is so near to my heart, issues that I have been thinking about for many years and decades, that I find myself writing notes on page after page of the book. As my first comment in conversation, I'm going to refer to Robert Persig's Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Quote, quality is a characteristic of thought and statement that is recognized by a non-thinking process. Because definitions are a product of rigid formal thinking, quality cannot be defined. End quote. Quality is opposed to what Curtis White calls a middle mind. Persig, the author of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, associates quality with what you, Sherry, call center, that place of disidentification from egocentric karmic conditioning. Center is that to which all religions point. To quote theologian Schubert Ogden, all religions say you need to lose your ego. And to tie this back into the fabulous questions class you are currently conducting,
that's the email class that we're in the middle of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance appears this quote from one of Plato's dialogues. And what is good, Phaedrus, and what is not good? Need we ask anyone to tell us these things? From a listener who loves open air.
That's great.
Yes.
And who does a lot of reading of marvelous things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think Curtis White also uses the term spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
In an attempt to point at center or quality, it appears everywhere. I mean, whatever the perspective or tradition, you know, I'm sure if we had a whole group of people like the writer. We could just come up with thousands and thousands and thousands of quotes, people
mm-hmm.
pointing at that same experience. In fact, you know, one of the most famous on the subject is right here on my bulletin board in front of me. We cannot solve the problems we have created with the same thinking that created them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, Einstein in that is saying exactly the same thing that we're pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
We have to step outside of that conditioned reality. My favorite cartoon, the one where the two fish,
yes,
jumping up out of the water, and one of them is saying, that stuff.
Yes.
And that's what we're attempting to do with conditioned mind. We have to get enough distance. The poor fish is trying to explain what the ocean is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can you explain what the ocean is if you've never had any perspective, any ability to get enough of a distance to realize it's not the only thing that is. And now, most human beings, at least everyone I've ever encountered, certainly has enough moments of presence or center or disidentification or being in that spontaneous place of the ability to experience quality, mm-hmm. that they know what's being pointed at.
Yes.
And of course, the point that we always make in practice is that the difficulty we run into is that it's so scary to turn loose of that rigid thinking
mm-hmm.
long enough to experience the breath of fresh air that that center is. Because
mm-hmm.
as soon as we speak, to me, that's a good image. You know, in that rigid thinking, there's no ability to breathe.
Yes.
Everything is constricted.
Yes.
And when we can get outside of that for a moment and get a little fresh air, it doesn't take long before we're unwilling to go back and settle for that rigidity,
mm-hmm.
for that safe, and that has to be in quotes because there's nothing safe about it. In fact, I was telling folks at the monastery the other day, one of my favorite moments in the middle mind was he's talking about these subjects, and he says something like, what I'm telling you is you're being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's quite a statement, and I agree with him. I absolutely agree with him that conditioning murders us. We are so safe that soon we are dead, and we fail to notice what happened. So it's very big, and the stakes are very high. It's more than the concerns about bad art that Curtis White is also pointing at. It's huge. It's the potential of humanity. It's our our possibility or our demise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you said, that experience of being free and seeing through that belief system and conditioning can get really exciting.
It's very exciting.
You just want more of it.
Yeah, and I think that the fear and the excitement, of course, are the same experience.
Yes.
Yeah, the heart or true nature or center or whatever we want to call that experiences as excitement what egocentric karmic conditioning experiences as terror.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the open road ahead of you. Back to Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Yes.
There's the open road ahead of you, and you can just go. And, of course, the voices are, clinging and screaming, oh, my God, what's going to happen to us? We're going to die.
Yes.
And, of course, it's true. Conditioned thinking is going to die. And what that frees us up for is to enjoy the open road.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And, Sherry, another thing that comes to my mind is something that you've talked about before, is getting to a place where we're so interested in just how all of it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do I get to these places?
Yeah, yeah. The email classes
mm-hmm.
do that for me more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
I watch the class start out and kind of where people are with it. And,
yes.
I don't know about this. And, maybe they'll write a few lines, or maybe they're not going to write in anything because, I don't know what's expected. And, all the stuff that we bring to life.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of weeks into it, it's like, whoa, I'm seeing this, and I'm seeing that, and this is going on, and I'm now aware of that. And it's just the excitement comes right through, the computer.
Yes.
The thrill, the really just plugged in, turned on, alive experience of instead of being trapped in this conditioned reality of gloom and doom, they're stepped back and they're seeing it for what it is. And whether they can articulate it or not, they are aware that they are somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get them back down on the farm after that. Although we know conditioned mind will certainly try.
Yes.
Yeah. Pull out all the stops to try to get us back into that, oh, God, something could happen.
Yes. Yes. What you're talking about reminds me of a previous show that we did that I was listening to recently, where you talked about being a 40-watt light bulb in life. And suddenly having the experience of, you know, 200 or 300 watts.
Aha. Uh-huh. Woo! And you just don't know if you can contain it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you manage.
But you manage, yes.
Yeah. And for me, now this is the kind of thing I know that scares people to death, but for me, I would rather have a giant blowout trying to contain those 300 watts in my little 40-watt container.
Yes.
Than to live my life with a increasingly dimming 40 watts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's exciting.
It is. It just breaks my heart to see how many people trade their lives for safety.
Mm-hmm.
For the illusion of safety, the illusion of control. It's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much fun to be had. And one of the points that that Curtis White makes, he has a dim view of fun because I don't think he means it the way I mean it. It's when I say fun, it's not a pursuit of all of the things that entertain me.
Yes.
It's not a matter of getting all the things I want and then being happy with that. It's the fun of living from that plugged-in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then experiencing what life calls us to do and the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
When the fun that's there when we're no longer believing that something could happen to me, that maybe this is crazy. What if I die? What if I lose all my money? What if I?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I'm burning at 300 watts.
Yeah, and isn't it exciting compared to 40 watts?
Yeah.
That we become unwilling to trade back.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a grand and glorious thing.
Sherry, the phones are ringing here.
Very good.
Our entreaties have been listened to. I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi. I called in today because I'm scared to call in.
Oh, that's a very good reason.
And I've been thinking about calling in for a long time and thinking... I need to have a subject to bring up or a question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will look around for a couple of days and think, oh, I could ask about that. And then a day later, the question will disappear. I mean, I'll think, oh, well, that's the answer to that question. That's how Sherry would look at it. And so...
So why ask that?
Uh-huh. So, in a way, I have many, many subjects to discuss, and yet, in a way, there isn't one subject to discuss.
Yes. Now, and that process can come from two places, can't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it can come from a legitimate, oh, I see. So I have a question, and then I'm just kind of walking around paying attention to how things work, and boom, oh, I see. And it can also come from, here's an answer, don't ask that.
Right.
Here, this is a good answer. Just get on with your life. Don't delve into that any deeper.
Right.
Yeah.
So, perhaps I will bring up something now.
Well, you certainly may.
Thank you.
And perhaps it was enough just to call when you were afraid to call.
Uh-huh. And partly just wanting to speak to you and have the feeling of speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Something
yeah,
I wanted.
For us just to be together in conversation.
Yeah.
Looking at things that we're mutually interested in together.
Yes.
And this is a really important point in awareness practice. Because people will say to me, often. Like, I'll be on retreat, and people, when we're on retreat together, I set up appointments. They come and talk to me individually. And so a person won't come and talk to me. And I might just accost them at some point and say, why did you come and talk to me? And they'll say, well, I didn't have any problems. Well, now, when did awareness practice turn into problems? You know, if you have problems, go talk to a therapist. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not interested in looking at people's problems with them, but that's not awareness practice. We look at problems until we get all that stuff out of the way so that we can be here actually doing awareness practice.
Whoa.
So people think, well, if I'm not suffering, then there's, you know, there's no sense in it. If I'm not, you know, why go on retreat if I'm not suffering? Why talk to Sherry or somebody else in my position if I don't have problems? Well, how about if we're just here together in this moment? How about that? Just sitting here together, experiencing this.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing?
Ooh, that's scary.
How? What's scary about it?
It reminds me of one of the things that I thought about bringing up, which is that when I'm sitting and I go to the breath and I think, oh, it can't be just going to the breath. No, that's silly. Now, wait a minute. There's got to be more to it than that.
So, again, when we're on retreat together, our practice is a silent practice. So, people are silent together. And at some point, somebody is going to say, well, how do you ever get to know anybody? You know, how do you feel support from people that you never know? And there's no way to get to know people if you never talk to them. And the point that I make is, the reason people don't want to be together in silence is not that it's not intimate. It's that it's too intimate. There's nothing to put between us. There's no chit-chat. There's no, where are you from? What do you do for a living? Oh, I really don't like the taxes. I wonder why she is. Okay, there's none of that. There's just your energy and my energy in the same physical space together. Okay? So, because we are underneath it all intuitive critters, then we're just sensing and experiencing one another on a really deep, intimate level with nothing separating, okay? So in the same way, you sit down, you're going to meditate, and you turn your attention to the breath, and you're just feeling the breath moving in your body, and that's all there is. It is so intimate. It's so clear and obviously who you are that the voices immediately start scrambling. Oh, well, this can't be it. That's too simple. You must be missing something. Here, go up into your conditioned mind and try to figure this out. But before that happened, there was just you and the breath living you.
I'm sitting here going, it can't be that simple.
Yeah. Well, you want to pay really close attention to the sound of that voice. Because that's the one that keeps you in suffering. Because if it is that simple? You see, if that voice were interested in your freedom and happiness, it would say, well, for God's sake, try it. What if it is that simple? What if it is the answer? I mean, go there and look, for Pete's sake. What can that hurt? But it doesn't say that. It essentially says, don't do that. Don't go there. That's not it. That's too simple. Don't do it. So if you had somebody in your life responding to you that way, which one would you think was on your side? The one who said, hey, what have you got to lose? If it works, that's great. Try it. Or the one who said, no, that's not it. No, that can't be it. That's too simple. Don't do that. Now, if those were two characters in a movie, which one would you intuitively sense was the good guy and which was the not good guy?
Gosh, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see both those people in myself so clearly.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And to me, awareness practice is being in relationship with those two aspects of life. So are you following your center, heart, clarity, authenticity through life, or are you following egocentric karmic conditioning? That's what we're constantly looking to see in every moment. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you called in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Talk to you
thank
soon,
you, Michael.
Thanks, Celia.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for calling us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to take.
Now, see, there was a very courageous person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything's saying no, and she picks up the phone and punches in those numbers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Very courageous.
I think that's a great reason to call.
Mm-hmm.
If you're scared of calling,
mm-hmm.
give us a call.
Right.
That'll light up the lines here. We're off the air today at 5:45 p.m. because the women's basketball team is going to be playing their NCAA tournament game. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I was excited that Celia called in and tested that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
Because what is going to happen?
Yeah. We go back to that. It can't be that simple.
Yes.
But it is that simple.
Yes.
No, you can't blah, blah, blah. Or don't do, it's too blah, blah, blah. And we just say, okay, well, I think I'll check it out. I think I'll find out. And, of course, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
That classic place that so many people relate to in The Wizard of Oz. Now, the curtain goes up, and who do we find?
Mm-hmm.
Really scary? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't anything really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Just that we get scared.
Mm-hmm.
We get scared is different from there's something scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Sherry, the phones are still ringing here.
Excellent.
I'd like to welcome Lori from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Lori.
Good evening.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Listening to Celia earlier, it occurred to me, it's true, I don't have to have an unsolvable problem in order to call you. It was a great permission thing for me to hear that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And actually, I'm mainly calling to thank you for a conversation we had on the show, I guess it was a month or so, a little less than a month ago, I think it was. My dad was close to dying, and I didn't know what to say to him.
Uh-huh.
And you had made some suggestions about, you know, talking to him about what I'm grateful for and how much I appreciate having had him as a father and those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
And I was, you know, I was really excited. I actually was up half the night thinking of all the things I could talk to him about, you know, what I was grateful for and times we had shared and all of those things. And then I got a phone call at 5:30 in the morning that he had died.
Oh, my. So,
yeah, that was, he didn't give me a chance.
Uh-huh.
But It was, you know, it was okay. The thing was, I said all those things at his memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like I was telling him as well as telling a whole lot of other people about some great things that I remembered about my dad.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a really valuable, your guidance was very valuable, even though it wasn't a personal conversation that I got to have with Dad.
Yeah, and of course, I'm in the club who is perfectly willing to entertained the possibility that he was listening the whole time anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It sure felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you were in different places, mm-hmm. but who can say that that wasn't part of his ability to say, well, I did a good job. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And he was ready to go, and it has felt like that ever since, that it was, you know, it was not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it, when the timing feels right.
Mm-hmm.
When it feels like somebody's ready and things are as complete as they can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when would we ever be ready to
right.
lose loved ones?
Right.
Never.
Right.
And yet, there is a moment when it feels like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was angry at him for a little bit of, you know, you didn't give me a chance, Dad. I had all these great things to tell you. And you screwed it up. But it did, yeah, it did feel, it, you know, it was, it, for him especially, that his body was, he was, it occurred to me today, if his body had been a car, he'd have traded it in long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just not serving him at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I just wanted to thank you for the suggestion because it was really helpful for me and for I don't know who else.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, thank you. And good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for calling, Lori. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Coming up in the next 7 or 8 minutes or so, we have the women's basketball and the NCAA tournament. Sure.
Now, do you suppose there are a lot of really anxious young women? Where are they playing? Do you know?
I think they're playing in Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you picture the level of adrenaline and excitement and
yes.
all that as the game gets ready to start. And
yes.
It's just so like life, isn't it?
Yes.
How's it going to go? You know, in Zen we talk about you've got your favorite cup
mm-hmm.
and it's already broken.
Yes.
So it's all...
The game's already over.
Yeah, the game is already over. But how did it go?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
I was grateful to hear back from Lori.
Uh-huh.
And her comments about her father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I have a burning email question here.
Okay.
And I'm afraid to put it off for another week.
Uh-huh. The paper's going to be gone, huh?
Yes. Dear Michael and Sherry, I desperately need something clarified and would appreciate so much your assistance. I've been working hard at conditioning, not taking things personally, but it seems the environment is turning the volume up on these issues in terms of testing me. I work as a radio engineer at a community radio station. The woman who hosts the show has the bad habit of sometimes screaming at me if I do something she doesn't like. Like today, I kept the music for her taste too low under her voice, and when the mics were off, she started screaming. When she settles down, she apologizes. Today I said to her, quote, I don't take it personally, quote, and the truth is I didn't for the first time. But I must tell you, it still bothered me. My confusion in all of this is, okay, great, great, you didn't take it in, but you still don't like it, and you don't want it to continue. How do I affect that change, or don't I? I've heard someone say that you teach people how to treat you. So what could I do to encourage her to treat me differently? Peace from a listener.
Oh, that's such an interesting one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we think of all that's required for me is to think of this line from Gandhi about experiments in truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is so perfect. I mean, so many ways you could go, so many things to explore. Because one of the things that's most interesting to me about this situation is that I project this person is very aware of of what it's like when this happens from center and what it's like when this happens from So at center, I'm not taking it. It's not personal. This person is screaming and yelling, is upset, is that personal? No. Whoever was there at those controls would be being screamed at.
Yes.
Because that's just how it is. The person doesn't like something, and she screams.
Mm-hmm.
So to think, oh, I could be perfect enough that I would never do anything that would elicit this screaming response is just silly. Because sooner or later, life is going to turn around in such a way that this person is going to be screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So from center, we know that. We don't have to take it on. Doesn't mean anything. It's like a fire siren, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It goes off, and there it is. It's over. We go back to our lives. And then we identify ourselves with someone who says, yeah, but this isn't right. This is not okay. You know, I don't scream at people. I don't scream at her. How many fun ways can we go? Because it might be fun, actually, at some point to scream at her. She screams, you scream. You know, just, you know, it doesn't even have to be content related. Just she screams and the email writer just starts screaming.
Screams in reply, yes.
Screams in reply. It would be possible to this is an old Ram Dass thing, actually. He was at a retreat in New York City, and they were right next to a fire station.
Mm-hmm.
And New York City, you know, those sirens were going off about every 15 seconds. And people were complaining, you know, I'm trying to meditate and all this noise and blah, blah, blah. He said, it's just sound. It's just vibration. Run it up your spine and enjoy it. You know, it's just blissful if you just take it in as energy into your body. So that's an option. There's just the entire range of responses to this and reactions to this.
Mm-hmm.
That this person, I mean, this is like a workshop that you don't have to pay for. So just to pay attention to all of it. For me, it's realizing there are no shoulds. There is no best way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just seeing where we suffer, seeing where we don't suffer, seeing the relationship between those two, what we believe, what we assume, what we project, the different aspects of ourselves who are present, what it's like when we disidentify, what it's like when we get stuck in it. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Mm.
And probably about the time the writer gets completely free of the whole issue, this woman is going to have some kind of epiphany and stop screaming. That's how life is, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Or just when this person is to the point of, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank God this woman screams, oh, I'm learning so much. This is beautiful. And then, you know, she takes a job somewhere else.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Oh, I hope this person writes in again. Or better yet, calls in.
Tell
us how it's going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any of those life situations. And to me, the thing that makes the difference is that experiment in truth, lightness. It's a workshop. It's a retreat. It's not life and death. I'm not being eternally judged on how
mm-hmm.
I do on this. It's
mm-hmm.
a chance to see how I am and to see what's possible and to move to a place of freedom over something about which I have suffered. And it's such a gift.
Yes.
If we don't take it seriously and if we don't take it personally. If we do,
yes.
Then it doesn't feel like a gift. It feels like hell and a punishment.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, amazing the differences between those two places.
Oh, and the circumstances are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
identified, I'm miserable, I'm disidentified, life is great.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about the content has changed. And of course, we're completely conditioned to believe that that's hogwash. You know, there is certain content that is completely unacceptable,
mm-hmm.
but we just have too many examples of that not being the case.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have time for me to tell one of my favorite stories?
Quickly, yes.
Okay. Allied troops come into a concentration camp,
mm-hmm.
and there's a fellow there. He's hale and hearty. He's got these great big giant mustachios, and he doesn't speak English, and they refer to him as Wild Bill because he looks like Wild Bill Hickok, and
mm-hmm.
he's everywhere. He's helping here. He's helping there, and they can't figure out who he is,
mm-hmm.
and they And but he's obviously a prisoner, and so they figure, you know, he must have just arrived because he's, you know, he's got weight on him, and he looks healthy, and he's happy, and he's bouncing around in these extremely bizarre circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances in which the entire world would agree a person has to be suffering.
Uh-huh.
And as they bring in people who speak his language, which was Polish, they find out that he was an attorney, lived in a small town in Poland, and when the Nazis came in, they lined up all of the people in town against a wall, including his wife and his five children. And before his eyes, they were all gunned down. And they kept him because he spoke languages that would be of an advantage to them. So he watched everything that he loved be brutally destroyed before his eyes. And in that moment, he said to himself, this is what hatred does. This is what ignorance does. This is what anger does. And I never want to have that experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized in that moment, in one of those, you know, blinding flashes to which we are heir on occasion,
mm-hmm.
he realized that what that meant is that he would have to extend loving kindness and compassion to the very men who had just destroyed everything that he loved.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he did that, and it was something like 7 years later when the Allied troops came in, and in all that time his life had been devoted to loving the people that he was there with, extending compassion to all of them, including the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a blissful man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So circumstances are irrelevant as much as our conditioned mind does not want us to accept them.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story.
In fact, one of our great spiritual teachers, Jesus, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
As they are killing him, to ask for forgiveness for them.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddha, having been poisoned accidentally by a well-meaning person, thanked the man who gave him the poisoned food for having helped to send him on to the next stage.
Mm.
I mean, these are not responses most of us can ever imagine getting.
Yes.
But they're available to us. It is our potential.
Yes.
It's who we are.
Amazing stories. Amazing stories. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We had a small technical difficulty there, and we've lost Sherry. Please tune us in again next week. We'd love to talk with you Tuesdays, 5 to 6 p.m., in the meantime, if you want to email us, you can drop us an email at openair@kzsu.org. Also, archives of all of our shows are available at Sherry's website. That's sherryhuber.com, spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. I'd like to thank all of our callers today for calling in and speaking with us, all of our listeners out there, both locally and over the internet. And, of course, Jay and Michael, some stalwart support on the phones and the engineering. Stay tuned for KZSU women's basketball in the NCAA tournament. They're in Norman, Oklahoma tonight in the Elite Eight. And we look forward to talking with you next week. Good night.